Scripture reading this morning, we turn to the book of Philemon, Paul's shortest letter, and we're going to read the whole of this letter to Philemon. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow labourer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. Or perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he's wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow labourers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Well, this letter that Paul wrote to Philemon is really the most personal of all his letters. It's true, of course, that the letters to Timothy and Titus were also written to individuals, but in their case they were pastors of churches or leaders of the work of the gospel over a particular area. And those letters are very much church letters, even though they're addressed to individuals. But when we come to Philemon, it's very much a personal matter that the apostle is dealing with. And as we've mentioned already, Onesimus, his slave, had run away, been converted, now sees the need to return and is accompanied by this letter. I guess that Paul gave it to him to carry and deliver when he got back to Philemon's home, encouraging Philemon to receive him back, but not as a slave anymore, but as a beloved brother in the Lord. Now, in the opening verses, we notice that the letter's addressed to several people, actually. although it's called the Epistle of Paul to Philemon, he actually writes also to Apphia, who we guess is Philemon's wife, and to Archippus. And we learn from Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, that Archippus had received a ministry from the Lord, and we guess from that that he was probably the pastor of the church that Philemon and Apphia belonged to, and in fact hosted, because the church met in their house. And the whole church is embraced in the address of this letter to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow labourer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. And I think perhaps we see there Paul's wisdom and tact as he writes to Philemon with this very specific request. He's inviting the whole church, led by Archippus, to be witnesses to what he has said, and therefore to how Philemon responds. And it's a tactful way of encouraging Philemon to comply with the request. And in verse 3, Paul uses the words of blessing which often open his letters: grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word you there, grace to you, is plural. All of you. Grace to you all. And Paul is recognizing, as we do, that it's when God's people are met together, as we are today, that the grace and peace that God gives is most especially felt. We're not called to follow Jesus as solitary believers, but in saving us, he brings us into his body. And it's when all of you are gathered that the grace and peace of God is most powerfully known. But then in verse 4, we get the word you again. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. And this time the word is singular. Now he's talking about Philemon specifically. And what Paul goes on in the next few verses to say to Philemon is a challenge to all of us as individual believers within the context of that gathered community, the church in this particular house, in our case. So here are four ways in which we all ought to resemble Philemon. And we'll notice four types of comment that Paul makes in verses 4 to 7 about Philemon. First, there's a word of thanks. I thank my God, he begins, and then in verse 5 he explains what he's thankful for. I've heard of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. So he's heard about it, and it's probable that Paul has never met Philemon. We discover from Colossians that that is most likely where Philemon is based, because Colossians 4 verse 9 speaks of Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. And at the beginning of the letter to the Colossians, Paul again refers several times to what he's heard about them. This is a church he's never visited. Epaphras has planted the work of the gospel in Colossae, and Paul says in Colossians 1 verse 4, we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. In verse 9, he says, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you. And so in a similar vein, commenting here to Philemon, he says, we've heard about your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Probably Epaphras had specifically mentioned Philemon to Paul, but he's never met him. Or maybe it was Onesimus there in prison when he met Paul. Not probably that Onesimus was a prisoner like Paul, but Paul was in prison. Maybe it was Onesimus who had great things to say about Philemon. And what Paul had heard was of his love and faith. In Christ Jesus, in the Lord Jesus, but also reflected in his attitude to his fellow believers, the love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. So, true Christianity involves love for Jesus and faith in Jesus, trust in him. Let's never forget that faith in the Bible is not just some kind of notional mental head knowledge, some acknowledgement of a fact. It's to rely completely on what the Lord Jesus has done. And it's rooted in and it leads to love for him. We love him because he first loved us. When we're trusting in Jesus, when we're relying on what he has done, how can we but love him when we realize the cost that he endured for our salvation? So let me just pause and ask, are you relying on Jesus and Jesus alone to save you? Or do you still need to put your trust in him? Have you learned to love him because of all that he suffered on that cross so that sinners like us could be saved? But Paul has heard about Philemon, also of his love toward all the saints. The saints locally in his congregation there in Colossae, the church in his house. But all the saints. There's a global love on the part of Philemon for the saints of God around the world. And that will result in praying for them, in encouraging them, in showing hospitality, in helping. And again, there's a challenge, isn't there? Do we love all the saints when we love Jesus? Do we love all Jesus' people? We should do. But maybe the other thought that Paul expresses here is a slightly less familiar one. He speaks of the faith which you have toward all the saints. Now, we've commented already on faith in the Lord Jesus. That's understandable. But faith towards all the saints. And here's a reminder that we should trust one another. That we should accept help from one another. That we shouldn't be the arrogant kind of person who thinks we don't need anything and we don't need to rely on anybody else. And there's this word of thanks as Paul summarizes in that phrase what he's heard about Philemon. Are we like Philemon in this respect? But secondly, we notice there's a word of prayer. Going back to verse 4, he says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. What does he pray? Well, verse 6 tells us that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So he prays that there may be an effective sharing of faith. Now, I guess when we hear that phrase, the sharing of your faith, the first idea that comes into our minds is probably that of witness. That's the way we tend to use the phrase today, isn't it? We share our faith. We tell unbelievers about the Lord Jesus, which, of course, is absolutely the right thing to do. But it's not exactly what the apostle is saying here, because the word sharing is koinonia. You probably know that Greek word, often translated fellowship. It's speaking of a faith that's shared in common, a faith in which there is communion and fellowship between the believers there in the church at Colossae, and in which Philemon himself is participating. And we, as the body of Christ, have a shared faith in Christ, in his word, in the truth. It's interesting, I mentioned that in verse 3 we have you plural, in verse 4 you singular, and verse 5 again the word you is singular, and your in verse 6 is singular, I think. I need to check that, but I think I'm right. But what is definitely the case is that you at the end of verse 6 is plural again. So the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in all of you in Christ Jesus. So Philemon, Paul is praying, will participate in that shared faith, and the result would be an acknowledgement on the part of all the believers of every good thing that they all participate in. And when we share our faith, when we talk together about what we believe, when we encourage one another in the faith that we share, then we grow in our understanding of every good thing which we all have in Christ Jesus. And if we then ask what's included in that every good thing, well, forgiveness of our sins, the joy, the peace, the love that come from knowing Christ as our Saviour, the power that the Holy Spirit gives us to live for Christ, the insights we're given into the Word of God, etc., etc., etc. How many good things must there be that we're barely scratching the surface of yet? How we need to pray that we'll grow in the acknowledgement of every good thing which we all have in Christ as we share together in that faith in him. That's what Paul prays for Philemon. Let's be praying the same for one another and for ourselves. Thirdly, we have a word of testimony here. We come to verse 7, where Paul says, "We have great joy and consolation in your love." Now, Paul's never met Philemon, but he's heard of Philemon's active love for his fellow believers, and that has brought much joy to the apostle. It's been a comfort, an encouragement, a consolation to him. And we can imagine, he starts this letter by describing himself as Paul, a prisoner. And he refers also in verse 9 to the fact that he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, isn't it, that he doesn't say, "I'm a prisoner of the Roman government," or "a prisoner of the Jewish people," because those two groups together conspired to get him imprisoned. But as far as he's concerned, he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. That's why he's there, because of his service for Jesus. And the chains that tie him up are far less significant in his mind than the chains that tie him to Jesus Christ. He's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But nonetheless, surely we can imagine that there in the Roman prison, there were times when he needed encouragement. Times perhaps when he would worry that the work of the gospel had stalled. And he needs to know at those times when he perhaps feels downhearted and despondent that the work of grace is still going on in the lives of men and women, in the life of the church. And it's similar to the way that we perhaps find encouragement when we read a missionary magazine and we hear of the faith and love and service of people we've never met, never heard of before. But we find the joy in realizing that God's at work beyond where we realized, in ways we never imagined, amongst people, fellow believers we've never met. And so Paul gives this word of testimony. I've been cheered up. I've been encouraged by what I've heard of your love, Philemon. And let's pray that we'll be a source of joy and consolation to others through our service, our love for the Lord Jesus and his people. And then finally, we have here a word of commendation. The end of verse 7. The hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Now, the hearts of the saints is a very English way of putting it. In the original language, literally, it would have said the bowels of the saints, because we today associate deep feeling with the heart. In those days, they associated it with the bowels. But that's the point. It's talking about depth of feeling. And when life is hard, you can get demoralized. And the Christian life is often a struggle and can be wearying and exhausting. Could sap your energy. And there's Paul in prison. Those natural feelings come upon him, no doubt, from time to time. Perhaps he asks, why has this happened? And then news reaches him of Philemon's loving service. And it's so uplifting to hear about. The work of the gospel is worthwhile. If that's the impact it has on the life of a man there in Colossae. And so Paul says, he's refreshed, but it's not him alone. The hearts of the saints have been refreshed. He's heard of how so many other believers have been uplifted because of what Philemon has done or said to them, or the example he's set. That word refreshed, the idea in it is of stopping for a while for a rest. A bit like being on holiday. And Paul has heard about this relief that Philemon has brought to others. And it gives him a bit of breathing space. Cheers him up. And all that Philemon has done is lived out his Christian faith in practice. And what service we can render to others when we do that. Just live it out in what we do, what we say, in our attitudes, in our tone of voice, in the smile on our face. And what benefits we can receive from others who live out their Christian life in that way. And that's why Paul finishes that verse by referring to Philemon as brother. He's never met him, but still he's part of the same family, the family of God. There's that sense of belonging that brings encouragement and support. How wonderful is Christian fellowship? And So Paul gives this word of commendation for what benefits have come to him and to others, all the saints, through Philemon. And we too should be so thankful to our Heavenly Father for the rich encouragement that we find within the life of the church, the body of Christ. Let's never take it for granted. Let's never devalue it. Let's prize it. And let's be so thankful that we can meet and refresh one another. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that like Philemon, we would be those who refresh others by our attitudes and our presence and our words. We pray that we won't be those who spread discouragement. And we do praise you for every time that we've benefited from the encouragement of others. Times when we've been downhearted and you've used our fellow saints, our brothers and sisters to lift us up. For this we give you our thanks and pray that in the life of our church, the experience together in that shared faith of all the good things we have in Christ would be to our eternal blessing. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.